Hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, if you have been with us the past few days on Abounding Grace, you've noticed that the real shocking thing about John 3 as Jesus dealt with Nicodemus was the statement, "You must be born again." In that statement was wrapped up in understanding, at least by Nicodemus, that it was something he could not do. You see, today we looked at, we're presented with the new birth as if it's something that we bring about in our own power. But Jesus was saying here, unless you're born again, born from above, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus was presenting something to Nicodemus that needed to happen, but that he couldn't do because of his sinful nature. And we looked at this yesterday. Your doctrine of sin, what you believe regarding your view of sin and who you are and what happened at the fall, has everything to do in correlation with how you will view your salvation. If you think you're a pretty good person, not that bad, well, then you will think salvation is something you can bring about in your own power. If you think, however, as the Bible describes, that you're dead in your trespasses and sins, then that has a whole different implication for how you're going to view salvation. If you're dead spiritually, you can't respond to anything spiritually, and that takes a supernatural work of God to change the heart before you can do anything. And so that at the end of the day, all praise and glory would be to God for saving a lost sinner. And that's the reality we looked at yesterday. Man spiritually died at the fall, and therefore it's impossible, 1 Corinthians 2:16, for someone to receive or accept the things of God if they remain dead. So man needs to be born again. He needs to be converted after that, following that being born again. He needs to repent and believe and trust in Jesus, but he's spiritually dead, unable to answer. And that's a problem, especially when something like Romans 3 states so clearly, no one seeks after God. Or John 1 says, salvation is not of him who wills. So free will's out. Romans 9 says the same thing. Well, the reason is because man's dead. He doesn't have a will that can choose something that is holy, right, just, and good. Oh, sure, his will's going to choose sin. It's free in regard to his own sin. You betcha. But not in terms of what is just and good, because he's spiritually discerned and dead. So, after the fall, the will is driven by the sinful human nature, and it chooses only the things of that nature. Spiritual death, then, is the reason why there's such a necessity for new birth. If one is not born again, they will be forever lost and suffer God's wrath. But I said yesterday, the problem is that the fact of being born again... The whole notion of being born again has been turned into a human work, my decision choice. And that's the confusion. People confuse what they experience in their conversion with the necessity of being regenerated, which is what the new birth is. Those are two different things. God's act of regeneration or the new birth is confused with one's conversion or the things they outwardly experience in their lives that are the fruits of already having been born again. Let me give you an example to chew on just for a minute. I remember in college being visited by some door-to-door evangelists, and we got to talking. And after sharing that we were both Christians, one of them said, "Hey, I was born again on November 15th, 1982 at 3:44 p.m. When were you born again?" Now, he was pointing to a time when he went forward and he said the sinner's prayer. The problem was that the whole thing was presented as if salvation was performed in his own power. But for someone who grew up as a Christian, raised with Christian parents, the experience was a little bit different than someone who would come from sheer paganism, right? It's important to say that those who come to Christ from flat unbelief will perceive that they have been born again and have been converted in a much clearer or even cohesive way than those than one who has received these things from childhood. Because one who's been raised as a Christian from childhood has always known Christ. Now, sure, there's a point at which he must embrace Christ in true faith. But many children who've raised in it can say, I embraced Christ as far back as I remember. We shouldn't criticize those, however, who have come in later in life out of paganism or whatever. We shouldn't criticize one who can point to a time when they knew they turned to Christ, for it of necessity will be different than one who's been raised in the Christian home and had these benefits all of their lives. Although there still will be an instantaneous change at some point, the spiritual life must be awakened in all of us. But let me go back to that example. When these people came and said, look, on November 15th, 1982, 3:44 p.m., I was born again. When I heard the way he explained it, I knew one thing. The new birth is something that God does. It was purely inward, and surely I didn't affect that. The point is that so many today attribute regeneration or the new birth as something they did. A young girl came to her pastor one day and said, Pastor, I'm so disturbed. I go up to this mountain Christian camp every year, and every year everyone is asked to give their testimonies about when they were born again. As it went from person to person, every one of them talked about when they made the decision and they gave the time and the date. It got to me, and I know I'm a Christian as far back as I can remember. I believed in Jesus, but I didn't have a time and a date. And so I was made to feel very insufficient. I was made to feel as if I was missing something. The pastor, knowing their confusion of these things, told her the next time, he said, look, the next time you're around the campfire and it comes to you, tell them Friday. And if they ask which Friday, you say your salvation was secured in the year AD 30 in the month of Nisan on Friday at about the sixth hour of the day when Jesus said, it is finished. We can be somewhat objective. What the pastor was trying to get across to that girl was that the focus is on Christ because it's his work. And yet today, people treat this whole concept of being born again as if it's just God waiting and begging on his hands and knees for us, high and exalted man, to accept him. See anything wrong with that? As if God has to make a real strong case and he just hopes that we're going to do it. I've seen parallels of advertisements, things that offer salvation like a product. The parallel to got milk is got saved. Or how about this one on the front of a Christian school? Whatever you do, this blood is for you. That's copied from an alcohol commercial. Is this doing any damage, this cheapening of presentation of the Christian faith? Absolutely. It's communicating something very false. Can we get born again like we get anything else in our consumerism world? Yes, the great danger today is that many are trusting in the fact that they have said the sinner's prayer, walked forward to the cross. They point to this reason or that. They broke some pottery or put it on the cross. They put ash on their faces or whatever it is. And that's the reason they got saved, just like they get milk. Look, this is exactly the kind of thinking that Jesus was ridding Nicodemus of. If it came down to Nicodemus, what he needed to do, look, this guy would have done it. He would have been the first to try to do it. I have no doubt Nicodemus was sincere. He would have done anything Jesus asked to get this salvation. But Jesus is saying something so different here. And this is where we have to really consider this passage. He's saying, unless you're born from above, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is teaching Nicodemus that a spiritual rebirth is what he needs, and that only comes as a work from God. Regeneration is a work of Christ by the Holy Spirit, where he changes the heart into a new heart. And the act of what we call conversion, what you experience in your life, and many of you have probably had these conversion experiences, that is your repentance and your faith, where you've turned from your sin and you've trusted in Jesus. Those things that we come to realize in our lives are always preceded by regeneration, meaning regeneration comes first so that the glory would be to God and not to us. Regeneration precedes faith always, and that's the main point. And that's the reason this is so beautiful. is because it makes the entirety of our salvation a gift from God. May I say that again? It makes our entire salvation a gift from God. A reason to marvel and praise Him for bringing dead sinners into this marvelous light. Proud man always likes to make salvation in their own work. Someone will hear this today and get very bothered because it takes away their own autonomy. Well, my friend, you had your autonomy in Adam, and Adam plunged us into sin and we are all dead. Jesus makes it very clear in this passage that the new birth is the work of God alone. I was explaining this to a young lady one day in college, and I'll never forget her response. She said, "If what you're saying is true, if I take your claims to be true, then that surely would make me all the more thankful for my salvation." I said, "You're finally understanding it." Everyone who begins to understand this can only respond by saying, "Oh Lord, I don't deserve such love." This is one of the most humbling doctrines of the Christian faith. All pride should be utterly rooted out among us in light of this, because it means that God sovereignly worked this change of heart for no other reason than the good pleasure of His will, not because we deserved it or earned it. So how will you know if you've been born again? Well, being born again is when one's heart goes through a transformation. The Spirit must implant into the dead heart life that has its origin from heaven. There must be a radical change of the heart, and that is purely granted by God. In John 1, we read that when one is born, same word again is born from above, one is born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Did you hear that? John 1, one is born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It has everything to do with God changing the heart. When someone is born again, they've been what we call regenerated by the Holy Spirit. It's a purely instantaneous act of God, whereby He implants in the dead sinner new spiritual life. And from that moment forward, all affections change, and the desire of their heart becomes Christ. The desire to turn from their sins, their desire to love Him, the fruits of conversion follow this great act of regeneration. Praise Him today for that, if you're a Christian, that the Spirit has sovereignly worked that in you, giving you Christ and all of His benefits so that all the glory would be for Him and Him alone.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.